I just want to say I love y'all. Amen. I do. I love
you. You're all right. I think I'll keep you.
Yeah. But it's thank you, brother. It was requested that we do a lesson on suffering, which is good. Which is it's a good lesson to get into. So make sure you get that to Nikki. She requested it. But I've done a study, personal study of this before, and it's just it's good. It'll really open your eyes. My goodness, and that when we think of suffering, we think of just pain or just, I mean, really, it's kind of fitting with some stuff that's seemed like was in the prayer request and that. So God knows what He's doing. But I'm gonna start off with the definition. I'm a definition guy. This is just the Merriam-Webster definition, and it was a good one. It says that which befalls one, or a suffering or a passion. It kind of covers some stuff, don't it? Amen. Even just the definition, it covers quite a bit. But we're going to, so why should we suffer? Let's go to 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13. Or why do we suffer? But let's start off in 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 through 13. When did they say amen? All right. Bible says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." my goodness, and that isn't that just good? I started, 12 and 13. All right, yeah, I did that right. That when it's revealed, when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. When we start to suffer, well, I mean, this is scripture right here. When we start to suffer, what do we normally do? You know, why am I the only one going through something? Or, you know what I mean? We automatically go to, man, I must be the only one. And that, my goodness, why? Why does this happen to me but not to other people? He said, look, think it not strange concerning the fire trial, which is to try you, though some strange thing happened unto you. We all in that suffer, and we all are going to suffer. He said, in this world you shall have tribulation. He said, if it stopped there, it'd be a sad verse. But my goodness, in that he goes on to say and makes it a happy verse, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Amen. So, my goodness, and that. So, we're not the only ones that suffer. That's one thing we got to remember. But also rejoice that you're partakers of Christ's suffering. Yeah. One thing we and I can definitely know for 100% fact is Christ suffered more than we are going to ever in this world.
Yeah,
I mean, He did. In every way possible. My goodness, and I think it had to be that way, Brother Tim. If He didn't suffer, would it make our salvation any less potent to get to heaven? No. But it helps us to enjoy our salvation more, because any possibility of anything that befalls us, Brother Aaron, He has the answer for it, Dad. He knows how to help us through it. Because He suffered more than any man, woman, boy, or girl will ever have to suffer in his life. Praise God. And that you can't even dig up all the ways that He suffered, really. And that, my goodness, and that we can get a few, but it's beyond our comprehension. So let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 5 through 7.
So we use the word fire.
Yeah, fiery.
He didn't say the small trial.
Yeah.
That makes it bigger, right?
Yeah.
Well, we know fire piston.
Yeah.
I don't believe he's talking about those things that truly, you know, get to you. You know, not the little small things that, you know, that you just sweat out, but it's talking about fire.
Oh, yeah.
Something, you know, a little bit bigger, a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Something you're going to need a little more faith to get through.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
I believe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Amen. He would have said fire, you know?
Yeah.
He would have used a different word.
Amen. Amen. Oh, man, that's good. 2 Corinthians 1, 5 through 7. Says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, okay, not just happen, but abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ.
Yes.
Amen. So the sufferings of Christ abound in us, but our consolation abounds in him. Boy, that's powerful scripture right there. My goodness. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. We all go through the same things. Some people, you know, certain things are a little harder for others. And what may be hard to me may not be hard to Aaron. What's hard to Aaron may not be hard to me. But know for certain that the consolation of it all is still in Christ. Amen. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. So we can be rest assured also, if we're partakers of the suffering, amen, there's consolation along with it. Amen. I'm not saying that, you know, it's going to be a Job situation where you get double what you had before. I mean, it's not, might not always be that way, and that, my goodness, and that, but rest assured, consolation is coming, and that consolation is in Christ. Amen. And we all know that the highest consolation he gives is the fact that he's coming back to get us one day. We're not destitute to this world. He's not going to leave us here, and that he's coming to get his people. That's a consolation in him. That should be the consolation for all the sufferings that we would go through down here. The fact that we only suffer in this life. We're not suffering in hell for eternity. But, my goodness, and that there's still, he rewards his people and draws him closer, them closer by suffering. And that we think, how in the world could that be? We'll get into that later here in a little bit. But so basically, being partakers of Christ means suffering, because Christ suffered. If we're going to partake in him and be like him, suffering is going to be a part of that, and that there's just no way around it. So we ought not think of it any way other than joyous. Easier, I know that's easier said than done sometimes. My goodness, and that look at me, I'm the one, and that it's easier said than done but my goodness, and that when we think of it, when we go into suffering, if we go into it thinking of it as a joyous thing, my goodness, and that then it's just going to be that much easier to get through it, knowing what it means. So it means we are, if we suffer with him, let's go to Romans 8:17-18. Anybody's got anything you feel right? You feel at liberty just to jump right in.
Whenever you go into it, you know, knowing that you're suffering for Christ.
Yeah.
That's just you trusting in him to take care of you.
Yeah.
When you go into it, you know, I'm suffering for him.
Yeah.
Then that's going into it, not trying to fix it yourself, not trying to, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
You know, but realizing that whatever. that, he's still God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
So, where do you start God? In First Peter, down a couple verses, it says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf."
Yeah, amen.
And I mean, it's hard whenever you're going through the trials and when you're going through the suffering and you're hurting in that moment to give God the glory. It is for me.
Yeah.
I can't speak for everybody else, but I mean, he made us in his image, and it had to have been hard for him too, but he did it. You know, Christ glorified God through all of his sufferings.
Amen.
If I can do it just once through one of my sufferings that pale in comparison.
Yeah. Amen.
I just keep thinking about the Sunday school lesson that we just went through with the Christian state of happiness, you know, and like we kind of touched on this a little bit of the fact that we're going to go through troubles and trials along the way. I mean, the Bible plainly states that we will, but the best part about it is, like you already kind of mentioned, is, you know, during it, it may not feel good. It may not be something we want to go through. It may not be something we're looking forward to.
Yeah.
But the truth about it is, where we can find joy is the fact that no matter what, even if the suffering, the present suffering that I go through full-blown takes me out of this life, I can still find joy in knowing that I'm going to be with Christ. You know, and that's kind of what I was getting from the consolation, you know, right there.
Amen.
Is that, it's easier said than done. And sometimes it takes time to get to that place. It does, you know, because we still carry this flesh. You know, the best part about it, and I'm not trying to steal your lesson or nothing, but the best part is that you could still find joy in the fact that, again, you know, and another way you could find joy with it too is, like, go further on when you get out of the trial.
Yeah.
You know, what do you end up doing? You end up, like the sister said, glorifying God at the end. Because he was with you in that valley, you know, just like Solomon taught, he's the lily of the valley. He's in the valley with us.
Amen.
You know, my goodness, that's awesome.
It says that it will yield peaceful fruit.
Yeah. That's amen.
It's a pretty amazing feeling.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, very seldom do I go into it like I should. Mm-hmm. But there'll be a church service when I'm and then all of a sudden, I'll put it, I'll lay it down.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you can feel it.
Yeah.
You can just feel it getting better. Like, it's not as important as I thought it was. Or God's got this, so what am I worried about? It's amazing that it's not just an emotional feeling. Like, I can actually feel my steps lighter.
Yeah.
Because I'm not dragging because of what's going on or something like that. It's just... That happened. I just say it because it happens to me all the time, because I very seldom go into it.
Yeah.
Like, where my first thing is, how do I fix this? What do I do? How can I do this?
Yeah.
Yep.
But then when I get to the point where I'm, God, there's nothing I can do. Can you help me with this?
And then
he takes some of that burden. It's really amazing. Just completely same trial. You know, 2 hours before that, but now I got a smile on my face instead of, you know, what's going to happen next. I don't know what to do.
Yeah,
it's just amazing.
Amen.
And the problem's still not fixed.
Yeah,
whatever the problem is, it's usually still not fixed. Yeah. But you just know that it's going to be taken care of.
Yeah,
it's out of your control anyway. So just give God your worry and move on, I guess.
And some, I kind of feel like it's almost like a and we kind of mentioned this too during the study too, and I can't help but keep thinking about it, is, you know, I feel like it's kind of a stigma where people think that us Christians have to be miserable.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like it's almost a stigma, you know, and the truth about it is, I'm not saying that I do believe that it is meant for us to go through trials. I do believe that God allows those things to happen for a reason. But if we were always on the mountaintop, we would never learn anything. I mean, there's a place for it, like you mentioned during it. But if I'm constantly on the mountaintop and I never go through a valley, then, you know, do I continuously glorify him the same way as before I went into that valley? You know, that's that kind of, I believe that we should go through trials.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, I guess with that, I feel like the stigma is that we have to be miserable. And I don't really agree with that.
No.
Because I can still find joy even in the trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the thing about it. We're going to suffer. And be honest with you, if we're children of God, longing to be with him and not going there, I mean, that's kind of a suffer, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Now, it, you know, That's, I think that's what Paul, like you said, is trying to get across. Look, just because you're suffering don't mean be miserable.
Right.
And Peter, Paul and Peter both, you know, doesn't mean you got to be miserable. You know what I mean? You can be joyous through this.
Yeah.
Because you're different than the world. Yeah. You know what I mean? You know, that same thing befalls a lost person. They got no help through it. You know, but it's befallen you. My goodness, it's to bring, we can use it to bring us closer to Him. We know where to go. We hit our knees, right? Amen. And that, my goodness, and we get a hold of a God that can.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God.
It's good.
I like how we're doing the study on suffering. We're talking about how good God is.
Yeah.
You know, how suffering.
Yeah.
That's good.
But that proves it out there right there.
Yeah.
You know, that even in our suffering, we can still find joy in it. You know,
amen.
Which is why, you know, that lesson originally, you know, I know I'm kind of shifting it. I'm not meaning to take it, you know, not, but I love how much overlap these have been. You know, it's been really cool.
Amen. I mean, it's all the same Bible.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we're coming from the same source. I mean, it's going to overlap.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
it's all God.
Would God really be good? He would just be this. I mean, I know that He's the same. I'm trying to find the right words, I guess. But
how would you know His healing hand if you watch
it? Right. Yeah. You would never learn it.
Well, and also, if your faith. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I was just saying it's weird to think of that way because I know that God is the same always. But if He was always keeping us from any type of trouble ever, then how would we show the world that doesn't have Him that God will keep us through?
Yeah.
If He's never kept us through anything.
Amen.
And I think that that's where the stigma comes from, is because whenever the world is suffering, they are miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
they don't have anyone to truly give them comfort, to truly
yes.
give them peace.
There it is.
And to truly, like, I mean, there's been times where I've just finally given it to God, whatever it may be, and I can feel Him embracing me and feel Him taking that from me. And the world doesn't have that.
They don't.
You know, they can get a hug from their spouse or their friend or somebody like that, but it's nothing compared to the hugs that God gives me.
Yeah, amen.
He just lets me know that everything's going to be okay, even though everything around me just seems to be falling apart.
Amen.
It's good.
It's hard to remember, and when we read it, you know, it's these things are for our good.
Yeah.
That's good.
Right?
Yeah.
Amen.
It really is. I mean,
it's by design and for a purpose.
Right. Yes.
But I mean, you know, when you're going through it, something hits you hard. What's up with this?
Yeah.
You know,
where are you at, God? Physical.
Yeah. Yeah. At that moment, it's hard to remember that this will be for our good.
Yeah.
And what it'll do, it'll teach us His glory, it'll teach us His love, it'll teach us to be closer to Him. So these things will be good.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, they may cause pain.
Yeah.
They may cause heartache. It will be for your good.
Yeah. Amen.
And good lovers, probably.
Yeah, exactly. If you come through the trial and the end of it, you know, you're giving God the glory, or even while you're going through it, you're giving God the glory. People will see that.
Yeah.
I want to be more like that.
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe that's what God is using to get your people.
That's good.
Amen. Then talk about consolation at the end.
Yeah.
Thank you, God, for it.
Amen.
What if someone gets saved because you stood during this trial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What will that do to your faith? What will that do to your walk?
Should increase it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Definitely not hurt you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely
good. So. I mean, honestly, thinking about, you know, what Heather said, if your faith is never tried, how do you know that it's faith?
That's good. Yeah.
Honestly.
The it's truth.
If your, I mean, if your faith has never tried, can you even call it faith?
It's good.
You know what I mean? Because that's believing. You know, you got some, you got something that comes along, a spiritual battle or whatever. And I'm inclined to think that a lot of it is spiritual, but there are physical sufferings that we're going to go through, physical things.
Yeah.
But the trying, Peter said, let the trying of your faith to be more precious than silver or gold, though it be tried with fire.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, right?
That'll preach.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, because it shows you whether it's real faith or not. You know what I mean? You can believe unto the saving of your souls and put that faith that he gave you back into him. But your faith, after you get saved, is it real faith if it's never been tried? And you've never come out the other end, you know, saying, wow, Lord, you really got me through that. You know what I mean? That's how you know that you have real faith.
Yeah. Well, and that right there shows you. I'm sorry, I didn't. Oh, but that just goes to show you right there where like faith is something that has to increase, because when we were lost, we didn't know what faith was, because that measure of faith had to be given to us from the very beginning. Yeah. So my thing is,
You know you were even giving him faith?
No.
You didn't know that. You knew you were lost and going to hell. Yeah. He was the only way out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that right there goes to show too that, you know, that measure of faith was given to us, but that's to increase it. It's something that we have to continuously learn and learn about, I would say. You know. Yeah. I just keep thinking of so many examples you mentioned. I'm sorry, I'm very chatty.
No, you're fine.
You guys gotta think, I've been cooped up for like, you know, 4 days, so I've had a lot of time.
We're waiting on it to get supersonic.
But my thing, I keep thinking about, I can't help but think about the Hebrew children, you know, like their trial was physical. I believe it 100%, you know, because when they're thrown in those flames, that was physical. You know, it may not have affected them physical, they had to have the faith first, but they were in that furnace.
Yeah.
You know, so right there is a perfect example, you know, that, you know, it's not always just spiritual wickedness that we're against. It's also physical things.
Also physical.
Well, Christ physically died.
Yeah.
He physically was beaten.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of the suffering of Christ.
It is.
They didn't just put him off somewhere to die. I mean, he suffered. I mean, in the body.
There's been others suffer physical torment for Christ.
And we're happy about it.
Cool. Yeah, that's coming up.
Yeah, I mean,
amen.
That blows my mind.
Yes.
You know, you throw some suffering my way, I'm not always the happiest guy.
No.
Well, somebody beats me to a pulp, I mean, once I heal, I might be liable to go out looking for them. You know what I mean? Just if I stay in my flesh.
That's it. That's the key.
Yeah. No.
Whether it's physical or emotional or anger or whatever.
Pain's pain.
I don't think that I've ever been in that place. And I should be. As a Christian, I should be. But I don't think that I've ever been in that place.
Yeah.
The spirit moves on. Then you are.
Yeah.
You just are. You can't help it. And I truly believe that's why it's the walk. Mm-hmm. In the spirit.
Yeah.
You know, you're born again, you've got the spirit of God.
Yeah.
But sometimes with the exercise, right?
Yeah.
You've got to walk in. That's the tough part. I mean, that's the hard part. So, when that spirit comes by, you all know, I'm not speaking to people that don't know. You all know what that spirit does when it comes by.
Yeah.
It fills you with his love. It fills you with his compassion. It fills you with wanting to help, wanting to forgive your enemy. Not that we should have enemies, but I'm just saying, you know, that's what it does. The hurt, the talk about the travail, you know, the woman being in travail, you know, once she's given birth, she no longer remembers that.
Yeah.
Right? Because of the joy.
Yeah.
And that's what the Spirit does to us. So
that's just good.
Man, God's just good.
Well, look at that. They say a woman giving childbirth. I mean, Heather's the only one that can explain that.
Yeah, I was going to say something. Like, I'm the only woman here.
They say, that's the closest you can get to death without dying.
Yeah.
I mean, they suffer so much, but at the end, look at the consolation. They're holding that baby.
Wow. Yeah.
Once a doctor places them in your arms, I would imagine.
You momentarily forget about the physicality of the pain, and it's just an overwhelming, joyous moment.
Yeah.
And yes,
I mean, consolation.
Yes.
That's
consolation.
Look at that head. I'm sure he won that. You talk about suffering, man. But he's precious now.
Yeah. But that right there is
a as a newborn.
Yeah, I'm sure he was.
After all that, the first time seeing him, it was all worth it.
Yeah.
Now I have this.
I have mixed feelings.
Go ahead, Tim.
Oh no, you're good. Yeah. No, I was just gonna say that's kind of the way. I mean, that's the way the church has to be, though, right? Mm-hmm. You know, the same way as a woman in travail, she has to be in travail. She has to be in pain. I would go as far as saying physical and spiritual pain for that soul that is lost. You know, because if there isn't that, because you got to think, you know, the pain. What pains me is knowing that my folks aren't. You know, if my folks aren't saved, they're not going to heaven. You know, and so that ought to be bringing us a physical, not only a physical pain. You know, in the fact of. You know, well, there's a spiritual part, but I'm just saying if there's a labor involved, there's, you know, so much involved in that.
And we as your brothers and sisters in Christ should deal with that physical pain and spiritual pain as well and be on our knees and praying for our brothers and sisters' families.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely something that should be a shared suffering.
Yeah.
But it all should be.
Yeah.
I mean, it all should be. If one of us hurts, we should all hurt.
Yes.
That's called being a church and being one in Christ, all one mind and one accord. But that's good.
Kind of really thought about that. Never, you know, hey, how you doing? I'm doing good. How are you? You know, whenever we see somebody or something like that, I'm doing great. That's not necessarily always true.
Yeah.
So
you can tell when somebody's just trying to cover it up.
Yeah. And
you ought to go pray for them.
But and I get that with somebody you see out, that, you know, friend of yours or acquaintance or something. But you know, if you come in and say, "Hey, Aaron, how you doing?" and I say, "Fine," you know, "How are you?" and that's it. That's how are you supposed to help me if I'm not telling you what's going on? I mean, some things are supposed to, you know, be outspoken and things like that. But you know, I could use your prayers or something would be good.
Yeah.
But no, we just have to. We're fine, nothing's wrong with us, nothing hurts me, even though something's really bugging me or something, you know?
Yeah, and this may sound silly, but I think it's something that's learned how to be a church member.
Yeah. Sure.
In the sense that God wants you to be. You know, I mean, you're newly saved, you come in, you know what I mean? It's just everything's great. You know what I mean? Like, man, this is awesome, this is great. You know what I mean? But part of being the church, why would he say bear ye one another's burdens if he didn't want us to?
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, consider one another.
Yeah.
I know whenever I was growing up and stuff, the churches that I went to, I mean, my whole entire life until maybe recently, and maybe it's because I didn't pay attention as closely. I don't really know. But it just seemed like everyone around me was always in that state of bliss and didn't have any problems and wouldn't share things. And it probably wasn't until Trinity, I would say, whenever I joined over there, that, you know, the pastor would openly talk about some of his problems and some of his issues. And you know, the deacon would do the same, or mm-hmm. the person that I looked up to because they were a wonderful singer would do the same. Mm-hmm. And then like Marietta would tell me about some of her problems, and you know, Jake would preach about some of his mm-hmm. trials, and you know, coming here is the same thing. And I think that that helps members of the church to know you're not the only one that falls.
Yeah.
That you're not gonna be looked down on because you're stumbling or because you're backsliding a little mm-hmm. bit or because you're not where you were 2 years ago mm-hmm. or you know, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
That it builds, I guess, a trust and a relationship with your brothers and sisters in mm-hmm. Christ to know, you know what, maybe I can, you know, go talk to James because I don't feel that he's going to judge me because he's opened up a little bit too.
Yeah.
And it builds that trust instead of, you know, the pastors that I've had in the past. I don't remember a single one of them, like, I guess, ever feeling like they were being real.
And they didn't fall for anything.
Yeah. Like, I'm a man of God, so I have to show perfection all the time. And that's not the way that any of us are.
No.
And we all want to be there all the time with God, but the older I get, the more I realize that doesn't happen all the time as much as you want it to.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen. And that's, I mean, I guess that's why Christ was the only one who was ever perfect, and the only one that ever will be perfect.
You have to be reminded sometimes. I was at a service. Lot of preachers there, and one that was preaching, he says, "Pastors," he said, "when was the last time you hit your knees for your people?" I saw preachers, pastors, just dropping like flies because they were reminded that they need the same help that the flock.
Yes, amen.
Even more so, because they're the lead. Right? They're no different.
Yeah.
But sometimes you gotta be reminded of that. We gotta be reminded how small we are.
Yeah.
So we can see how big he is.
That's right.
That's just plain and simple how it is. And we don't do that. Sometimes we think, well, we're growing, we're big, we're big.
That's a good example of, we don't tell you're not growing.
Yeah. Hey.
Roger Williams said one time, said, when I think I'm doing something, that's when I'm doing the least. When I think I'm getting nowhere and I think nobody, not helping anybody, said that's probably when the most help is getting done. And that's just honestly the truth. Romans 8:17-18. So why suffer? And if children, then heirs. Well, you know what, that sounds weird. Let's go up a couple more verses just to get. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Abba means Father. The spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Amen.
So we suffer because it means we're joint heirs with Christ if we suffer with him. You're not suffering alone when you're suffering. You're suffering with him. Amen. He's with us. And that, praise God. And he's already suffered that. My goodness. So we know that we're with him. Praise God. Amen. Philippians.
What do you mean by that? The glory that will be revealed in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After the suffering. Yeah. When we get to heaven. Yeah.
That people will see in you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
Read,
amen.
If you don't mind.
His glory.
If you don't mind, read down to 22 in that chapter.
All of it?
if you don't care.
Yeah. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
That's good.
Amen. That's we groan together.
Yeah. Amen.
All creation. Up until now, this is an up-to-date Bible. So he's talking straight to us too, right now.
Yeah.
That we're groaning together till now. That's good.
Yeah, amen.
Philippians 3:10-11. Vince, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead and read it, buddy.
10-11.
3:10-11. 10 and 11. Better way of saying it.
That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead.
Amen. Why do we suffer? To know him better. Mm-hmm. That we may know him better. The whole time he was here, he suffered. Am I right? He suffered the whole time he was here. Amen. But he also was joyful that he had his people and he could preach the gospel. And he was getting ready to bring us all into one fold. Amen. So if we may know him better through our suffering, because he is there to help us. Amen. We can know more of his power and the power of his power that it took for his resurrection. And that, praise God, the power it took for him to even want, listen to this, the power that it took for him to even want to come back to this world after he was treated so cruelly. He resurrected on the third day. You know, he could have been like, you know what, they treated me bad at every corner. They told me I wasn't who I really am. They spat on me. They beat me. They ran me out of town. They didn't want to hear what I have to say. At every corner, they were conspiring against me. Then I submitted to them killing me. Why would I want to get up and come back to them? But it wasn't finished yet, right? Amen. So that's pretty powerful. That through all that suffering, he still had the love, amen, to come back from the dead, show himself, and then rise up and ascend to the right hand of the Father to finish the work for people that did not deserve it. And people that caused his suffering and that he was suffering for. I mean, that's power. That's a powerful resurrection right there. Amen.
I can imagine him sitting up there at the Father's right hand.
Yeah.
Knowing that he was going to suffer before he came.
Yeah.
And knowing that he was going to suffer. Like he was at perfection. He was perfection. And okay, well, I'll bring myself lower than the angels.
Yeah. Who he created.
Yeah. To come down there and suffer. I mean, just knowing what it felt like to be in perfection and mm-hmm. come down here would just be suffering himself.
Yeah.
Being away from that.
And it's all a growing thing. What, I mean, do you remember those growing pains that you would get in your legs at night? I remember my dad having to come in and just rub my legs, man, because they would hurt so bad. Obviously, they didn't grow very long. But I can remember that. You know, that suffering brought growth.
Yeah.
It's the same in our Christian walk.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. The exact same.
But the part I love about it is, yeah, he came down, he did suffer, but the entire time he still said that he loved us. And I mean, Peter denied him, and he still loved Peter.
Yeah, yeah.
He never gave up on us. And,
amen.
And we should never give up on him.
That's right.
It's just, yeah, we suffer, but just like you said, we grow afterwards. And,
yep.
And my dad said earlier how he's the lily in the valley while we're in it, and just he's still with us through those.
Yeah.
And afterwards, we come out and we can get up on a mountain again, and we can have learned more about him, and he's just so good.
Yes. Yeah.
I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Amen.
Been sick and been home too long. Just, I'm glad to finally be back with my people.
Yeah, amen. Amen. Bless your heart. We're glad to have you back. Amen.
Your worship changes too after you go through those things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and like that's kind of like, I feel like since we've moved here, I feel like that's kind of where I feel like my family, or I personally, have grown a little bit. Is, you know, I feel like my worship has changed in a different direction. You know, and like I feel like in the beginning it was all like getting the word in me. I'm trying to get as much in it as I can. But now I feel like the more that you're looking at, I feel like I have it more under a magnifying glass now. And what I mean by that is like I'm digging out those nuggets that we want to talk about. And so like when I go through those valleys, I feel like I approach them differently the next go round. And then when I get back to that mountain again, like, my goodness, I could just about shout the house down. You know, I'll just be honest with you guys. You know, I've never shouted during a service until I moved here.
Mm-hmm.
I've never done that. I've never gone hypersonic like everybody says that I go.
Supersonic.
Well, yeah. Like, I mean, I've never done that until I moved here. You know, and I just don't know what comes over me. I just can't keep it in, and I don't want to keep it in. You know, it just comes out. It just flows out of me. But I just know that God's going to get the glory out of it.
Yeah.
I in my head, it's embarrassing. It's like, don't do that, shove it down. But I know better than that, because when I do, I know that I walk away thinking, you know, I could have done more.
Yeah.
And I don't like to walk away feeling like I could have done more in my worship.
Amen. As a pastor, that makes my heart happy. Every time Nikki says that she has been growing and growing and growing. And you can see it.
Yeah.
You can see it in Nikki. And,
yeah.
And that makes... it makes the pastor's heart happy. Amen. I've seen a change in her the past couple of years, man.
Yeah.
I mean, and I appreciate that. And let me tell you, without suffering, it wouldn't happen. Yeah, that's one thing we got to keep it. And the suffering doesn't have to, I mean, it's not like it's got to be the worst thing in the world. You know what I mean? But, you know, I tell you, some of the times I suffer the most is when I know I've let my God down.
Yeah.
That's just absolute suffering to me. You know what I mean? You know, things that come in this life, you know what I mean? You know God's got them. You know what I mean? You do. But when you let him down, that's a different suffering right there. But through that, what happens? You never want to do it again. Yeah. You don't want to do it again.
Right.
Do we? Yes. Yes. Me. You know what I mean? But it helps us to grow. You know, I mean, because we learn what not to do. We learn what to do. We learn, my goodness, that no matter how far down in the depths we get, he's there to reach down and pick us back up, put us up back on the rock. Amen. Praise God. And that it's just good stuff, man.
Yeah, that's big for me, going through things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next time, I'll say in a service, you're supposed to sing a song and you don't sing it.
Mm-hmm.
And you regret it. And then you got that again. He gives it to you again, even though you let him down last time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
So I remember what that felt like. It's just like, you know, trying to teach your children.
Yeah.
Like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so next time you'll know that it's wrong. You're still a kid. You're going to mess up.
Yeah.
But now you know for next time. And then eventually you get through that kind of stuff and then find something else to mess up. But yeah, I mean, it's really, the suffering is where you learn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so good.
What about someone that is hurt in church?
So that is a real tough one.
Yeah. As a church hurt?
That's a suffering.
Yeah.
That if they're not careful, could really affect them bad.
Yeah. You're talking church hurt? Or?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the two parties are the only ones that see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The church sees the schism, right? I mean, sees, you know, there's a line drawn there. And of course, you know, Satan wants to jump in there and just rip as much of it up as he can.
Yeah.
It's hard to come back from
something. It is. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it takes God to do it.
Takes God and the right people to be around them.
In man's heart. We'll lean on our own vanity, you know, lean on our own understanding sometimes. And of course it's wrong. But it does happen. I mean, I'm sure we've all done it one way or another. But man, you can cause major damage. You can cause suffering that is need not be.
Right. I think that's some of the suffering too. That, I mean, did Christ deserve any of the suffering that he went through? No, he didn't. And that not one bit of suffering that Christ suffered did he deserve. Where was it right to do? It was done. And he went through it. He got through it. Amen. But how did he get through it? I mean, when he was in the flesh, what did he do? He said, he even said, "It's I can of my own self do." This is Jesus, the Son of God. While he was in the flesh, said, "I can of my own self do nothing." He said, but he looked to the Father. He had all power. He was 100% man, but he was still 100% God.
Yes, amen.
When he looked over Jerusalem and wept.
Yeah.
We don't know what was on his heart, whether he's having compassion because they were all lost, or whether he was knowing that he was coming unto them and they were going to betray him. They were going to hang him on a cross. They were going to reject him.
Yeah.
He was a man. Mm-hmm. He was just as much man. He felt those things. Yet, he didn't let the work stop. When Paul and Barnabas had to split, right, because of the contention between them.
Yep.
The work didn't stop, right? I mean, they went different ways.
They went their way.
They were still brethren, but the work kept going. That's what's important. I'm thankful for that. It's easy. I think that suffering that a lot of times is brought on, you know, by man. But can also learn in that as well. You know, we know that none of us are supermen, none of us are perfect. And maybe, you know, it's a time to teach us forgiveness, you know, when something like that happens. So I only say that because it's heavy on the heart tonight, you know, and but that's suffering as well. And unfortunately, a lot of times it is part of what we have to go through. Like I said, only God can bring us through that. So.
I do have to say that it does say, if a brethren has a fault, is that, I mean, Paul said to rebuke them openly,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
That others can be ashamed if they're at fault.
Yes.
But there's also a thin line to toe there, too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a very thin line.
Yep.
Now, should, you know, faults, yeah. You know what I mean? If there's an offense in the church or something from somebody, yeah. You know what I mean? Rebuke them openly in front of everybody so that others know not to do it. Is what Paul's saying. You know what I mean? But hardly ever is there a time for that.
Yeah.
There's also a difference between rebuking and then giving yourself.
Ripping somebody to shreds.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Showing love.
Yeah.
You know, they got put down in.
Yeah, a simple brother that's wrong.
They are.
Yeah.
In a fault.
You know what I
mean?
You
want to see them one back over,
yeah.
Right? Not to bash them.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not the.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, that's point. Not right. No, don't, you know, that's it. That's not right or that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that, but no need to
maybe give the scripture where
exactly.
Yep, that's it.
To me, that's exactly. You prove it with the word of God.
That's it.
Yeah.
And then that's the judge right there.
Yeah.
That's the guy. It's good. I don't mean to take it a different direction.
No, it's not. I mean, that's all in suffering. I mean, it all is, you know what I mean? Not every suffering that we go through is one that we've earned or, you know, or anything like that, you know what I mean? Or I don't know if that's the right way to put it. I hope you guys know what I'm talking about, you know what I mean? Sometimes we're going to suffer because of other people's misdoings.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or, you know, people coming at you falsely, stuff like that. They did it to Jesus. What did Jesus do? He loved them back.
Gave them the word.
Yeah.
The word, give them the word.
Exactly. But you still have to look at it just like with any other suffering, that it will be for your good.
Oh, God's not going to let you go through something and then not bring you out better.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I've done read the scripture. So consolation at the end.
Yeah.
So what happened with the baddest disciples?
Long
yeah. At that point, when offense is brought into it, suffering from offense, it's also how you go through
yes.
it.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was going to say that. You know, I think it's all about the how, though, like when it comes to that type of suffering.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that is on both ends, not just the people that have to take care of it. It's also on how that person also receiving it also takes it.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, when church hurt happens, it's when you're letting Satan come in and you're not letting the word, like you said, be the final authority.
Yeah.
You know, and using discernment, I think, is a very big thing too. You know, my thing is this, just, you know, one thing that I've had to learn a little bit is, you know, I've had people come to me with good intentions, saying, hey, the Bible, like just an example of how I've kind of been church hurt in the past, you know, and it took time to kind of work through that. I've had people come up to me after getting up preaching, and they've said, hey, the Bible actually don't say that. It actually says this, this, and this, and this. And for a minute, in the beginning, I used to just take them at face value. Mm-hmm. But over time, I kind of learned, I'm going to go to God about this. You know, right. Thank you for letting me know, but I'm going to pray about it, and I'll definitely study it out is usually my response now. So what I do is I go home and I'll pray about it. I'll study it out. But what I find, though, is where discernment comes in is knowing, okay, was that man actually doing that because God told him to do that? Or was it because God was using that man to point something out that I did have a fault?
Yeah.
You know, so the hard part, and I'm not saying it's always going to be easier said than done, because, you know, church hurt can go real deep. It can.
Oh, yeah.
But I think from both ends, it's about, okay, am I seeking God to work through this church hurt, or am I just turning to the world and just going and getting all my ideas from them and letting that creep into my life? You know, so it, you know, those are usually the ones that continue to bring contention. Those are the ones that continue to bring strife, you know, and allow that hurt to continue and move forward instead of letting God let it be done. And like the Bible says, forgive 7 times 70. You know, that's not something we easily do or like to do. We always try to throw in there, well, I can forgive, but I ain't got to forget about it. Are you really forgiving them if you're not, if you're not forgetting about it, you know? But that's kind of, again, that's kind of a both party kind of thing. And that's something that I think both parties need to be able to go about it the right way, I would say, you know, and then, you know, work through God on that. But back to my thing is, like, when they came to me and corrected me and I found that it actually wasn't in the scriptures, you know, I didn't go back and say, hey, you're an idiot. I hate you. I can't believe you did that. That I would have been wrong for that.
Yeah.
I didn't say anything to him. I just, you know, I mean, I probably could have, but I didn't. But I just said, you know, God, you know, it was a good study session, but I'm going to go with what your word says. Mm-hmm. That's where the discernment comes in.
Yeah.
You know, separating self from God. That's the big thing with everything we do.
That's the truth. We're supposed to forgive 7 times 70, but it's really hard for this flesh. We can forgive. I can forgive somebody, but I'm not God. I can't just forget.
Yeah,
I'm sure. I remember that happened.
Sure.
You know, I might not remember them in a negative or like, well, they were wrong or I was wrong at that time, but I won't continue that negativity towards the future, but that was wrong, you know, they were
still
wrong.
Happened.
Yeah.
But so, right. People, it still happened.
Yeah.
Well, the Lord had me forgive somebody, text somebody this week that did me wrong. And I've been asking God if there's anything between me, and I thought I was completely over it, and I really wasn't. So I was, you know, thinking, well, maybe I'll text him later. God said, no, do it now. I texted that man. I said, hey, brother, I just wanted to let you know I love you, love your family, wish nothing but the best for you. You know, I told him I've been asking God if there's anything. There was feelings, I guess, that I still had that I didn't think I had. Said, I want to apologize for holding them feelings and all that. Never thought in a million years I'd do that. I didn't even do that person wrong. That person did me wrong. I apologize to them for still holding on to something. My goodness. Acts 5:41. There's one more. Probably be the it for tonight. And then we're gonna. I'm gonna pretty much teach Hebrews, and then I'm gonna teach it in a different way than you've heard it. pretty much. Acts 5:41. Actually, let's do 40. I'm the king of just starting in the middle of the thing here. Says in verse 40, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. My goodness. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Amen. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. All right. So why would we suffer? That people would see Jesus so much in us that they want to get rid of our influence. Amen. They see so much of Jesus in us that it just aggravates the fire out of it. I mean, these religious men could not stand the apostles. They thought, boy, once we get rid of Jesus, we're just going to get rid of it all. No, they continued preaching Jesus. They saw enough of Jesus in them. They wanted to beat it out of them. They wanted to kill him. They eventually did kill him. But it wasn't the first time they were beaten. Wasn't going to be the last. But they counted it a joy that they might suffer for his name. My goodness, and that's kind of hard to think about. were kind of hard to swallow at first when you first read it, you know, for the very first time. But after knowing then that the power of Christ, my goodness, what were they happy about? They were happy that they saw so much of Jesus, that he had just suffered more for them than they'll ever suffer in their entire life. My goodness, and that and we're worthy to suffer for his name. And that, my goodness, they rejoiced over it. Amen. They did what they weren't supposed to do. They went out and they did not stop preaching the gospel. Amen. So why would we suffer? And that so that people, my goodness, and that can see Jesus in us. Amen. Anybody got anything on that? All right. So next week we'll get into how our Lord suffered, how he handled it, and what he used it for type stuff. So, and we're going to be in Hebrews. So if you want to get head start, read the book of Hebrews. Probably just going to teach the whole thing, to be honest with you. It might, you know, there's going to be certain points, you know, for the lesson, you know what I mean? But we'll just read it all and teach what the Lord has on our heart. You probably don't think of Hebrews as a suffering book, but it is. Amen. Anybody got anything? A good lesson. Good discussion. Amen. There's a lot to learn. There's a lot to learn about it. Amen. And that's something we ought to learn as much as we can. Hunter, you got anything?